Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
Welcome back. It is Monday night with Monday Night Football underway. And the Giants, of all people, have taken a lead over the Cowboys 9-3. Giants have five straight losses to the Cowboys, but they're looking to reverse that tonight.
I know this stresses you out. It's still early. We're in the, early in the second quarter. It's going to be okay.
Early second quarter. Cowboys on the move. Giants did fail to convert the extra point, so it is 9-3, and Cowboys have a chance to come down here and score and take the lead.
Well, if you had dressed in my Raider gear, maybe I could have given you some of that karma that from yesterday. But
I don't think.
You chose your
and Jose will confirm this. I don't think I could ever dress like the Gloss here on The Boss and the Gloss.
It's probably a good idea.
Why, it's not the Gloss and the Gloss. It's the Boss and the Gloss.
That's exactly how it should
good
be.
Good point, Jose. And I don't know about this. I don't know about this fit on The Boss. You know what I mean? Might not be cool. But we are radio, so we can do whatever we want.
And do
no
we ever?
Yes, exactly.
All right, let's talk about Jerry Palm. He is a senior sports writer for CBS, knows all things college football. And college football is very interesting. We're going to have Jerry Palm up with us next segment. And I look forward to talking to him about the big matchup, obviously, of the week, LSU-Alabama. So many storylines there.
There are a lot of storylines, and it's not just Tua. LSU has been dealt a big blow today, and I really want to ask him about it.
And we have some great games from last weekend. Frankly, there were three quality one-loss teams who came away with wins. I'm going to give credit to Oregon and Utah. And of course,
how about the Pac-12 that they're even in a conversation at this point?
Hey, those are two quality one-loss teams.
Yeah, they are.
And then, of course, Georgia with their big win over Florida.
Big, big win. Both those were one-loss teams. That was huge. It was played in Jacksonville. Big game.
So Georgia looks like they're on their way to the SEC championship game. And you can't rule them out of the big picture.
And tomorrow night's the version one of the college football playoff seeding, the first four. So we'll see.
All right, it will be Jerry Palm when we return. Let's begin by asking him, what are the implications of Georgia's win over Florida, and how far can Georgia go? It'll be Jerry Palm when we return here on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line is CBS senior sports writer Jerry Palm. Jerry, thanks for joining us. You're on with David and Carla.
Hi, how's it going?
Well, we're doing great. And before we look ahead at all that's coming this weekend, we'd love to look back at last week. In fact, well, there was a firing of a coach. There was there were three one-win teams, one-loss teams that actually fared pretty well, Georgia and Oregon and Utah. What about those one-loss teams? Do you think of those three, who do you see finding their way into the CFP?
Well, the opportunity is greater for Georgia. Because all they got to do is win.
Yep.
Of course, that means beating, you know, Alabama or LSU in an SEC title game. But, you know, if they can win out, 12-1 SEC champions in the playoffs. It's not as sure of a thing for an Oregon or a Utah or an Oklahoma. Of those three, I would say the one with the best resume at 12-1 is probably Oregon. Because they played a good non-conference opponent, even though that's their only loss. Their strength of schedule is going to be better than 12-1 Utah would be or 12-1 Oklahoma would be. So, in fact, I think 11-1 LSU or 11-1 Penn State or Ohio State would also be a playoff contender, especially if the competition is someone like Oklahoma or Utah.
We're talking to Jerry Palm of CBS Sports. So the other big news of the week, of course, Willie Taggart being let go by Florida State. Did he get a long enough shot to turn that program around?
Well, you know, the gut reaction to that was no, but it was pretty obvious that this was going downhill fast and that he probably wasn't the right guy to get it back going the other direction because the recruiting wasn't up to the par it would need to be to get it turned around. So this was a school that had, you know, built up this contract, this huge contract, and now has to cut their losses and try and find somebody else to take this job that can build it back up, and that's not a trivial exercise. You know, the assumption is, you know, with Florida State, somebody's going to really want this job. That may be true, but what they need is somebody who could really succeed in this job, and, you know, you don't know for sure that the person who wants the job is that person.
Jerry, do you see at all a similarity between Willie Taggart's road at FSU and what happened with Charlie Strong at UT? Meaning both of them, Strong and Taggart, inherited programs with below 500 records. Jimbo Fisher was 5-6 in his last year before he left for A&M. And both programs had a lot of off-field issues with their players. What has happened in Taggart's short time in his year and a half, and in Charlie Strong, he was given 3 years, of course, but is that the off-field issues really are basically gone. And the on-field, you know, obviously still issues at Florida State, but is there something to be said to what he inherited and the improvement that he has made, at least in that part, or do Tallahassee fans, Seminole fans, just really not care about that?
Well, it's great to, that's not unimportant. Put up the locker room, cleaning up the culture, getting, you know, players to go, you know, more with the straight arrow. It's not unimportant, but you still have to win. You can't have problems in the locker room and off the field and expect to be able to win at the level you want to win also. So, you know, that's part of it. And they deserve credit for that. But in the end, you have to be able to win. And it was pretty obvious, at least in Willie Taggart's case, that he didn't have a structure in place and he didn't have the players coming in that were going to succeed at the level that they expect to be able to succeed at Florida State.
Have you ever seen boosters like we've seen at Florida State who allegedly raised the $20 million to buy him out? Is that a normal help? Has that happened before?
Well, not that high an amount because that's a pretty high buyout. It's not unusual for ADs to go to boosters and say, hey, we need some money to buy this guy out. Usually, though, the number's significantly smaller than that.
We're talking to Jerry Palm of CBS Sports, and I want to now look ahead. LSU, Alabama, the big showdown we've all been waiting for. One fun thing I was just reading a day or two ago is that how the last time they met as 1-2 was 8 years ago, and that was a defensive slugfest that ended 9-6.
Yeah. This rematch.
Times are changing.
Yeah, how different is it now? I mean, it's just amazing to me. I mean, what do you think of the offenses and the way they've reinvented themselves?
They're very different teams now, aren't they? I mean, Alabama and LSU still like to hang their hat on defense, and Alabama probably doing a better job of it, but they both now have vibrant, creative offenses led by great quarterbacks, and that's been going on now at Alabama for a few years. It's always been the big question at LSU, and they finally seem to have that problem solved. So, I think it makes for a really interesting game. It could be higher scoring. Yeah, you were talking about 2011, where they met in the regular season, and then again in the BCS championship game.
Yep.
And, yeah, that was they may not be 1-2 by tomorrow night, because the college football playoff committee rankings come out, and I will be surprised if Ohio State is not 1 or 2. Mm. But nonetheless, it's those are two potential playoff teams, and it's not an elimination game, because we just talked about LSU in particular being a playoff candidate at 11-1. But it's obviously, for the winner, you've got a shot, not only to possibly not just make the playoffs, but be the number one seed.
Jerry, before I do want to get your top four for tomorrow night, before I do that, I want to ask you about LSU Alabama. Obviously, the storyline is Tua going to play. How much is Tua going to practice? But honestly, another storyline that has become, to me, almost as big for LSU is the removal of Michael Divinity Jr., the linebacker, who was removed from the team for personal reasons. I mean, he's the one leading the team with 3 sacks on the season. Do you know anything that happened there? And do they have someone they can plug in so this will not be such an obvious loss for LSU?
Well, I mean, that's a guy that's hard to replace. Yeah. There's no question about it. Yeah, you know, like you said, the sack leader on the team, an experienced guy. I mean, you're going to put in somebody, you know, who's probably talented, but more green behind him. He's behind him for a reason. But, you know, it'll be an opportunity for that player to show himself, you know, make some plays and possibly help win a football game. I mean, that's the way college football is. All football is like this. We talk about it a lot at the quarterback position because that's, you know, the prominent position on the field. But you've got to have a next man up attitude, and especially on your lines where those guys are in some serious contact on every play, and on your defense where those guys are making hits on ideally every play. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's just something that you've got to try and live with, and frankly, I think it's a bigger problem for Alabama if Tua is ineffective or can't play at all versus the Divinity for LSU.
So for tomorrow night for the rankings, who do you have, Jerry, as your top four? And is it unusual that there are 7 unbeatens in the top 25 at this point of the season? Have you seen that before?
I don't think that's a record for this time of year. It's a relatively high number, but I don't think we're talking about record numbers. But my top four, I have Ohio State, LSU, Alabama, and Penn State, although I think Penn State Clemson for number four is basically a coin flip. It's do you like strength of schedule or, you know, Clemson's relative dominance of their, you know, really bad schedule to this point. Ohio State at number one, they've just eviscerated everybody they've played.
They're very complete. You can't deny that. Very complete team. Most complete.
The two teams that they have played that are going to be in the ranking, Wisconsin and Cincinnati, they beat 80-7 combined. 80-7.
Wow.
And as much as I respect what LSU has done this year, they're not laying waste to everybody the way Ohio State is. It's just been remarkable dominance for the Buckeyes this year.
We're talking to Jerry Palm. Now, you mentioned Penn State. You've got them in your top four. They do face an undefeated Minnesota, ranked number 13 this week. Do you see Penn State dominating Minnesota?
I think it more so a chance of that than the other way around. Minnesota is 8-0, and you'd be hard-pressed to come up with anything remotely resembling a quality win. Maybe the win at Fresno State week 2. Which was a double overtime game, I believe. I don't know. I mean, Minnesota's 8-0. They probably lose to Purdue if they don't knock Elijah Sindelar and Rondale Moore out on the same play early in that game. They still only won that game by 7. They're untested. They've got great receivers. Their receivers can play for anybody. But Penn State's defense is probably the best they'll see all year, and one of Penn State's best in maybe a decade. So, you know, we'll have to see. But it will definitely be the first time Minnesota's going to play anybody that can really get physical with them.
Okay, Jerry, I'm going to take you out west for a minute. USC got beat down pretty bad, 56-24 at home by Oregon. Pretty much looks like it's going to seal the fate of Clay Helton. Who do you think the Trojans not only will get, who should they get to return this program to national prominence?
Well, they're going to try for Urban Meyer. And if he wants a job, he'll get it. I don't know for sure that he's going to want the job. I mean, he retired for a reason. I wouldn't be surprised if Urban Meyer took an NFL job. You know, he's already won 2 national championships. I don't know if he needs to coach USC, you know, for anything, you know, to prove anything for himself at this point. He's done all you can do in college football. But if he's not going to take the job, then they got to go out and find somebody. I don't really have a name for you, but they're going to have to go out and find somebody who's got the energy and is going to fit in L.A. Mm-hmm. and in that culture and can bring some life to that program. And They need somebody like Lane Kiffin who's not Lane Kiffin.
They need Pete Carroll. He was kind of the perfect match there, honestly.
He really was. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that going back to, you know, it looks like Rutgers wants to go back to Greg Schiano. That's probably not going to work. But, they need a younger Pete Carroll.
Right.
If they could find somebody like that, then that would really be, that'd be the kind of thing that would work well, I think, at USC.
Very good. Jerry Palm, CBS senior sports writer. You can read him on CBS.com. Jerry, thank you so much for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
All right, thanks.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Improve visibility and save money at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by for their See Better, Drive Safer sale, where you can earn a $15 gift card after mail-in rebate when you purchase either a Sylvania headlight bulb or Bosch Focus or Trico Titan wiper blades. They'll even install your wiper blades for free while you wait. Don't risk your safety because of poor visibility. Let the professional parts people at O'Reilly help you find just what you need. Okay. Georgia needed last week was a big win over Florida, and they got it. Georgia's well positioned in the SEC East.
And they looked good in that win. It wasn't a struggle. They looked great.
Well, they really did. I mean, Jake Fromm gave them what they needed. He wasn't flashy, but he's a great game manager. He's a very smart player, obviously a great competitor and leader. But the Georgia defense really was the more impressive side of the ball for Georgia over Florida.
Yeah, no, they really were. And they kept him in the game, you know, especially after that very, very tough loss against South Carolina. You know, the offense needed to do the job and the defense really stepped up. And your Cowboys just scored.
Cowboys on the board. They've been trailing the Giants in what would be a catastrophic embarrassment loss. Imagine the Cowboys is the one team to lose to both the Giants and the Jets in the same
season this year.
But Prescott with a 45-yard touchdown pass, and that puts the Cowboys within striking distance. The pass completed the touchdown to Blake Jarwin, number 89, the tight end for the Cowboys.
I think getting back to Georgia, I'm not sure that their offense, their defense really stepped up. It was great. Can that offense hang with the rest of the college football
headed on this, of course, if Georgia does win out, they get to go to the SEC championship game. There, they're going to likely
they would face, have to be the SEC champion, right?
Yeah, well, yes,
ultimately, one lost team,
but they'll get to that loss. SEC championship game. They're going to face LSU or Alabama. They would have to win that game.
Likely,
they've already got one loss. They'd have to win that game to get to the CFP. And you're right. I don't think the Georgia offense keeps up with either LSU or Alabama.
You know, and it's tricky. In the years before, I mean, last year, Georgia led Alabama in the SEC championship game for 59 minutes.
I know. I've talked to Georgia fans recently, and I said, hey, your team looks pretty good. This was coming into the year. And they always say, yeah, we always look good until those last minutes when Alabama tends to beat us.
It's so tough. And, you know, Kirby Smart's the student to the master, Nick Saban. And I know student of Nick Saban's has ever beat him. So there we go.
Well, the matchup this weekend, and this will be over in the SEC West, LSU-Alabama. It's not a playoff eliminator. I mean, Jerry Palm was interesting. He also said this. Look, if you're LSU, you could lose to Alabama here. Alabama could go on and win the SEC championship. Alabama's in the Final Four, but LSU would still have a claim as a one-loss team with a lot of quality wins.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they do.
They did beat Texas. They did beat Auburn.
A&M.
And they beat A&M, and they beat Florida. So I think LSU would have a great claim as one of the best one-loss teams. And if their only loss was against Alabama, who was on their way, that surely positions this game with all the hype and all the excitement and the great matchups. This is not a playoff eliminator. Either team could find the way into the Final Four.
No, agreed. Absolutely. And I think, you know, the storyline we talked about with Jerry Palm, you know, obviously Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback for Alabama, is a game time decision. He had ankle surgery on October 20th. Did you hear that? Ankle surgery on October 20th. It was the same surgery he had last year on the opposite ankle.
Right.
But that was after the season.
Right.
So, I mean, he practiced two times last week. And apparently I heard Nick Saban today saying that he and Mac Jones are going to have equal reps this week. And they're just going to see how much he can, Tua can handle. But I would think he's pretty much Superman if he can come back at the same time. This is probably Alabama's biggest game of the year before the SEC championship game. So I'm not sure what you do there, but they're in a tricky spot.
Well, contrast that. We were talking about Patrick Mahomes with the Kansas City Chiefs and how the Chiefs really ought to be conservative about rushing him back. There's no conservatism here. I mean, Alabama wants Tua in for this game. The stakes don't get any bigger for a regular season matchup. Now, Alabama has Auburn to play later on in the Iron Bowl. So Alabama's got another big win they've got to win. I mean, you think about Alabama's road here. They've got LSU. They're going to have to play Auburn. And then they have the SEC championship game, which will likely be Georgia. And then if they win all that, then they'd have to go win out in the CFP. So while,
and they've done it before.
Look, I mean,
they start out with cupcakes for the first couple months of the seasons, and then it kind of comes in. So,
well, they haven't played anybody.
No,
yet,
no one.
But they're now about to play a lot of folks. One team that really hasn't faced much competition, who seemingly is drifting from view. I mean, Clemson is still around, right?
Don't
but
get me
nobody's
started.
Talking about Clemson anymore.
It makes me so angry. Because first of all, where's the respect for being a national champion? I mean, there is something to that because it was given to Alabama for years. You know, just they always came in at the preseason number one.
Right.
And, you know, Clemson, all they have done is win. That's the only thing they have done this season.
All right, but what about their strength of schedule? That doesn't bother you?
Well, strength of schedule bothers me, and I'm big on strength of schedule. Yep. However, the schedule's set years before they play, and you can't help that you're in a conference that's not great. Now,
no,
should
it's
they
not.
Have been playing Wofford this weekend? No.
Right.
But that's,
Wofford.
I mean, it's in there.
Sounds like a sneeze. I mean, what is that?
Well, I know, but it's like Alabama playing Troy. No, right. That shouldn't happen either. But this is what I would say about I'm very frustrated and confused by the lack of love that Clemson is getting and the lack of respect as a defending national champion this year because they have won. They did struggle against a UNC team, that is on the rise with a brand new head coach in Mack Brown. Different looks, all of that. Yes, Trevor Lawrence is not the runaway Heisman. He's not even on the list anymore. He has had an up and down season. But last year, their margin of victory was 28 point average in all of their games. Do you know what it is this year? 28.5 points margin of victory. So they're actually performing at a better rate than they did last year. So stop the Tiger hate. These guys deserve to be in the top four until they prove otherwise and lose a game.
All right, fair
enough.
They've
got to win out. I mean, I'm not going to lie. They need to win. It's got to happen. But come on, put them in the top four.
Well, it was interesting to hear Jerry Palm's top four. Mm-hmm. He had LSU, Alabama.
Well, he had Ohio State as number
one. Ohio State number one, Penn State number four, and then LSU and Alabama.
He said Penn State / Clemson.
Right.
It's a coin toss.
Coin toss. Are you comfortable with those? I mean, look, it doesn't really matter who's top four. When LSU and Alabama are going to play and one of them is going to drop out of the top four imminently, but do you like his top four? Would you have sounds like you've got a slight bias for Clemson.
I do.
But there's really nobody else. I mean, those are the undefeated teams you'd have to consider.
Yes, I agree. And I really love him having Ohio State as number one. And because when you look at how handily they are beating opponents and formidable opponents, and they are complete from the offensive side to the defensive side. I mean, we're talking about Justin Fields, but then they've got that defensive end, Chase Young, that is, I mean, he could run away with the Heisman. He is so good and so talented and such a difference maker that I think that really does to me vault Ohio State. I have no problem with them being number one. I really don't.
Yeah, Chase Young is probably the surest thing going into next year's NFL draft. Mm-hmm. I mean, quarterbacks are always difficult to read, but he is a stud at defensive end and he will turn a lot of heads at the pro combine. He will likely go top three for sure.
And I would take Clemson over Penn State in a tie for fourth because they won a national championship last year, and they have not lost.
Well, some of this will get settled on the field, thankfully. I mean, Penn State's got a big matchup coming.
Yeah, they do.
All right, when we come back, we'll have the What Does the Boss Say?
Ducks they quack, and fish go blub, and the seal goes ow, ow, ow. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say?
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. My favorite section or segment, What Does the Boss Say? I am the boss. I'm sitting next to the gloss. I've got Jose behind the glass.
But Jose was not dancing with me in the opening music.
I don't know how he could have missed
after
the opportunity.
After all the hip-hop we've done together, he should be having this routine down.
One would have thought. What a missed opportunity, Jose. What were you thinking?
Pressure's on, Jose.
I'm a little sore. I'm going to need some Blue Emu.
Yes, you are. I'll set you up. Stuff is magic.
All right, let's go to what sports luminaries have said, and we'll offer our own views and perspectives. Number one is Deshaun Watson, who here in Houston, everyone is clamoring to get MVP consideration. He had a great performance, and this time, last Sunday, his performance was on another continent. He played in the matchup in London, and Jaguars head coach Doug Marrone said he was very impressed with Deshaun Watson.
I think the guy we were playing against, the quarterback, rather than looking at it as, hey, listen, we missed something, I look at it as that guy's just unbelievable. His fluidity, I don't know if that's even the right word, of when he gets hit or when he gets grabbed and he can move and escape, I've seen him do it against everyone. It's tough.
Yeah, of course, last week we heard John Gruden say that Deshaun Watson was like the Michael Jordan of football, and Marrone, of course, giving props to Watson. Watson shows amazing, he calls it fluidity. Yeah, why not?
I would say elusiveness, yes.
Elusiveness, I'm calling it poise in the midst of, because it's one thing to elude them, but Watson keeps his eyes looking downfield. He has total confidence and awareness of where all of his teammates are, so that even if he's about to get sacked, he knows where to throw the ball. His poise under pressure is really exceptional.
Well, and one of the plays that was evidenced yesterday was the grab. He was about to be sacked, and as he was going down, saw Carlos Hyde out of his left eye that's like half closed and pitched it to him backwards in the field as he's falling down. Perfect throw, sets up eventually a touchdown. It was beautiful. I mean, Doug Marrone, I appreciate that candor. He's right. What do?
You just got to tip your hat sometimes.
Exactly.
Now, Deshaun Watson was asked about the big win, 26-3 over the Jaguars. And after the game, Watson gave a specific chicken sandwich credit for the health of his eye.
The eye's great. I got some, I tell you the key. The key is it was the Popeye spicy chicken sandwiches that I ate this week that helped the eye. So make sure you know.
There's a nice little plug.
That healed his eye. Just the right chicken sandwich.
Popeye's in London.
Well, around here, people don't talk about the chicken sandwich so much as they do Carla's famous chocolate chip muffins.
Oh, they are. Triple chocolate.
Jose, you love them, right?
Oh, yeah.
You've been known to eat about 7 or 8 in one sitting?
About a dozen.
I'm taking to Jose with hip-hop with me.
Well, he needs hip-hop after all those muffins.
That's true.
But if your eye is in trouble, go get a chicken sandwich, according to Deshaun Watson.
Okay, that's going to do it.
All right, while we're on the subject of food, the Packers suffered an embarrassing loss to the Chargers, and Aaron Rodgers explained how a slice of humble pie may have been necessary.
Yeah, this is a good slice of humble pie for us. You know, we're kind of rolling at 7-1 and starting to, you know, listen to the chatter maybe a little too much. So I think this will be a good thing for us. We'll regroup, go back home, and play another good team before the bye.
Well, it is a long season. They were 7-1, and boy, they were getting a lot of attention across the league.
And rightfully so. They look great.
Well, they looked great, but there's something about today's media, today's social media, the piling on, the 24/7 television stations and radio properties, and all the banter that goes on. And I think there is a risk that a team listens to too much adulation and gets a little fat and happy. And maybe a humble pie, a slice of humble pie, is a healthy thing for a Packers team that was at 7-1.
Well, you look at the inconsistency really across the NFL, several teams. We had, you know, a week ago, Aaron Rodgers had a perfect passer rating. Never before in Green Bay history had that happened. And this week, he's looking at a 13.1 QBR.
Ouch!
What a difference.
A tale of 2 weeks.
I think he got blitz pie rather than humble pie. A lot of pressure coming from the Chargers. Credit that defense.
Credit Ingram and Bosa. They were outstanding. All right, the Steelers. Well, they battled their way to a 4-4 record. They relied at least a little bit on Adam Vinatieri's missed field goal. But Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Steelers, explained how proud he is of the grit of his football team.
It's going to still be a while. We'll work forever trying to get that September stench off of us. But that's life in this thing, and I appreciate the effort and the fight. It's good to be sitting at 4-4. I never thought I'd hear myself say that.
Well, for a team that lost its starting quarterback, and began the season without both Bell and Brown, probably for better. But this was a team with a lot of transitions. And with Mason Rudolph at quarterback, they were able to beat a very good Colts team.
Credit Mike Tomlin. Stop the hot seat talk that happens every single year with this guy. He is doing a great job. And they've won three straight now without Ben Roethlisberger. So I think you credit Mike Tomlin, and you also realize that Roethlisberger, I think, is very overrated.
All right. One of the controversies in Denver, aside from the terrible play of the Browns, was the cleats on Jarvis Landry and OBJ. Jarvis Landry explained how not only was he under the impression, that the cleats were approved, and so was Nike. Let's hear from Jarvis Landry.
I don't really understand, you know, when we went up to the Nike headquarters to start game planning throughout the season and our uniforms and things like that. These things get cleared by the league before Nike can start processing the shoe. So Nike processed the shoe and thinking, I guess, they had the green light from the NFL. So I didn't see it as being a problem or a distraction to anybody. You know, I'm just trying to play football, but, you know.
Did they really tell you couldn't play unless you changed cleats at halftime?
Yeah.
As if the Browns need another distraction.
Right.
Let's go back to OBJ's watch. Let's go back to this, to that, Baker, and all this. And now we're worrying about the cleats. They've got to just focus on the play on the field. Give me a break.
But when you hear Jarvis Landry's explanation, I mean, that's on the NFL to me. I mean, I agree. I'm all about there's too much going on with the Browns. I mean, but today they released safety Jermaine Whitehead for the profanity-laced tirade that he sent out.
As I said, there's too much going on.
And that is too much going on. But the NFL, if Nike produced those cleats based on approval of the NFL, then that's on the NFL. You got to let that go if that really is what happened. And why would we not believe Jarvis Landry?
Yep. And Nike does know a thing or two about cleats in the NFL.
I think they do. They've had a little experience.
All right, let's go to number six. The Patriots suffered their first loss of the season, and it was an embarrassing one. So as one would expect, Bill Belichick, he was in no mood at the press conference.
Well, you're always willing to take that, you know, say coach better after any loss, or if you just point out a performance. Is there something specific that you felt you didn't have the team prepared for?
Well, it's obvious. I mean, did you see the game tonight?
Okay, so I do think that was a very fair question. The reporters saying, look, it was a tough loss. You're playing a team, the Jaguars, who are running a different kind of offense.
The Ravens.
The Ravens. And they're running a different kind of offense. Are there things you wish you'd prepared differently? And Belichick just doesn't give her any latitude, no answer, nothing useful at all.
Have you ever heard him give any reporter anything useful?
No, maybe not.
I think that he doesn't show. He keeps everything very close to the vest at the point of being rude and blunt. And we just saw that, heard that.
I think it must be hard to be one of those reporters who go in there and it's your job to go and ask Belichick a question. And you just know it's just a charade. It's not legit. You're going to ask a question. There'll be no answer back. And you might even get a condescending glare from the preeminent mind in all of football.
Right. I mean, it was a condescending answer is what that was. Did you see the game tonight?
Yeah.
There we go.
All right. Well, let's go to number seven. And we're shifting gears to baseball. The Washington Nationals' big win. And Davey Martinez, their manager, Well, he wrapped up the World Series on Wednesday. It was a great celebration. And over the weekend of the parade, Martinez claimed that the team had cured his heart issue. Of course, Martinez has an issue with his heart. The team cured it. Let's hear what he had to say.
I got players telling me, watch my heart. I got fans screaming at me, your heart, Davey, your heart, Davey. I'm going to tell you something. All this right here has cured this heart.
Well, I'll tell you what. The game against the Astros in Houston when he went nuts and had to be restrained from attacking the umpire, and he was ultimately ejected. I thought he was going to have a heart attack then. And this is a guy, I would have said the same about a guy with a healthy heart, much less one who had a bad heart as he did. He went nuts, but winning cures all ails.
Amazing how that works, yes. Congratulations to the Nats. Hard to say we're here in Houston, but they deserved it.
All right, still on baseball, the Mets have finally found their new manager.
And love this choice.
Carlos Beltran, a former Astro, I might add, as we sit here in Houston. And so Beltran explained how he always felt managing the Mets was his calling.
For me, the passion that I have for the game of baseball, the passion that I have to pass forward, the things that I learned in the game of baseball, I do believe that it's important. You know, it was important. It was my call to pursue this opportunity.
You thought he was the right pick for the Mets.
Absolutely. I mean, he played for the Mets for 7 years. Yep. But what we saw in Houston when he came to play, he played his final season, 2017, for the Astros when they won the World Series. He was so key in that locker room. Productivity was average and what it would probably be for someone his age.
Yeah, it was after his peak as a player.
It was. I mean, he still had some great moments. But what he did, he really galvanized that locker room and picked up those young players. George Springer was in that World Series slump postseason, and Carlos Beltran got him out of it. And I mean, he is manager material, and he's inheriting a Mets team who, since the All-Star break, has had one of the best records in baseball. This is a great hire for the Mets.
Yeah, Mets do have some talent and certainly a great rotation. Beltran may be on a good trajectory.
Yeah, I think he's a super guy, and they're lucky to get him.
Okay, over the last couple of hours, we've all heard a lot of wisdom, a lot of great truths that have come from the Gloss, my partner here, Carla Dawson. When we return, we'll look at what we've learned from Carla Dawson over the last 2 hours. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss, SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. Monday Night Football at the half. It is Dallas 13, Giants 12, a matchup that's closer than it probably should be given the talent on the field.
Second half kickoff starting right now.
Here comes the second half. All right,
We need your heart to be okay. We need the Cowboys to pull it out. I'm worried about you. You might be joining Davey Martinez.
Oh, fair enough.
So let's get you better here.
All right, this is what I've learned from you, the Gloss, over the last couple of hours. In the realm of college football, you said, stop the Tiger hate. Clemson deserves more credit.
Yes, they do. They are doing exactly what they need to, winning. And I don't care what your schedule looks like. You have to win it, and they're doing it.
All right, you like them in the top four.
I do.
And you like, as your number one overall, Ohio State.
I'm good with that. I have no issues with that. For this first rendition, absolutely.
Sure.
They've got some big games coming up, but so does everybody. So I think it'll sift out. But I'm very happy with them at number one right now.
So they're at the top, and a team way down at the bottom, the Cleveland Browns. You are assigning most of the blame for the Browns on John Dorsey.
I am.
He's the one who hired Freddie Kitchens. He's the one who built the team, and he's the one who traded away the offensive line. He is the one accountable at the moment.
You're spot on. You said it beautifully.
All right. You think the other Bosa, Joey Bosa of the Chargers, deserves some credit. He's near the league leader in sacks, and his brother Nick is getting most of the love right now.
And I think he showed yesterday, got to share the Bosa love. boy, he was formidable yesterday in taking down the Green Bay Packers. He was quite a factor.
So
leave Joey in the dust.
All right, well, Nick Bosa has been playing so well. Last week you gave him the label Bosa Nova. Who's the real Bosa Nova? Are you going to give it to both of them?
Don't put Joey in the corner.
Moving right along. You think the Minka Fitzpatrick trade was a good pickup for Pittsburgh?
My gosh, four picks since he's come over from Miami and a beautiful 96-yard return yesterday. That was some kind of something. That was a great pickup. Great pickup for the Steelers. And a big difference, I think, in their three-game winning streak that they're riding now after what Tomlin said was the September stench they needed to get off. I love that. Great description.
You think Willie Taggart might have deserved a little longer runway at Florida State?
I do. I mean, look at this. First-year coach, you expect them to lose, which he did. Inherited a 5-6 program. He was fired yesterday at 4-5. Second year, you expect him to lose, but lose more competitively. He didn't even make it halfway through the second year, and I think it was the Miami loss that just really did it. Florida hates Florida. You know, they don't do well with each other. I think it was not a fair shake.
Fair enough. And finally, you like the idea of Josh Jacobs, Rookie of the Year.
Oh, that is music to my ears.
She likes that.
And it really makes John Gruden and the Khalil Mack trade make sense. That was the pickup we got from Chicago.
You heard it here from the Gloss.
The Oakland Raiders, were able to bring in Josh Jacobs with that pick. So I'm all about it.
There's a woman dressed in silver and black smiling at the Raiders' big win.
That's it. I hope you're smiling at the end of tonight, David.
Thank you. And I'm smiling right now because coming up next is the great Alex Gold. It will be the gold standard coming up next here on SB Nation Radio.